Father, we worship you, glorify you. Nothing is impossible for you. And nothing is impossible to him that believes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Not only is nothing impossible for you, but nothing is impossible to him, to her that believes. Hallelujah. We worship you. Manda keres. Ode ti craso. Vede che raso ti è. Vede che la sotto. Those that were without hope, I sent my son. And I gave you a spirit that was born after him. This spirit, your new nature, is filled with every capacity to believe. To believe against all lies. To believe against every contradictory emotion and every lie that the enemy or the body could present against the truth. Makarase. For some would say, I know that all things are possible for him, but I've lost hope in myself. I've lost hope in having that level of faith to believe. And I would say unto you, saith the Spirit of grace, this is why that I sent my Holy Spirit. For he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God. And we know that all these things works together for our good, saith the Spirit of grace. I can build you up upon your most holy faith, even when you do not know what it is in you that is resisting, even when you don't understand what it is that's causing you to temporarily fail. Give yourself over to the intercessor through praying in other tongues. Be relentless. Stay in that place, whether in the closet of prayer or in daily activities. Let my spirit pray through you and for you, saith the Spirit of grace. For not a moment is lost in my presence, and not one syllable is lost in the airwaves of my spirit. Every word spells out your deliverance. Every word spells out your 30, 60, and eventually hundredfold building towards the end result, saith the Spirit of grace. I hear the Lord say, many are without hope. Many come to a place where they believe they've tried everything. And he's talking, of course, things in the spirit. They've made application to faith, but as yet they think they're seeing no result. But I testify to you, saith the Spirit of grace, that the things that are working in the spirit realm are working on your behalf. And even before the materialization of the actual physical comes in to the material realm or the physical realm. Hallelujah. Know this, that I'll build a spark in your hope. I'll build a faith in your faith, saith the Spirit of grace. I am the one that causes that which is nothing to be. I had no substance when I created the worlds to begin with. I created the substance by which I created them. I'm the originator of your born again spirit. It came out of me. Do not say with your heart or with your mouth, there is no hope. The very spirit that you are now has already been fashioned, formed, and I created it with endless hope inside of it, saith the Spirit of grace. Be who you are. Allow my spirit to bring this man of life forward. And you'll find your hope resounds and comes back to fullness, saith the Spirit of grace. Praise the Lord. I just want to remind you and make the announcement that we'll be having church here Sunday night. It will be the young adults service. Homer will be teaching again, as he does, and does just an excellent job teaching, ministering, doing whatever the Holy Spirit leads him to do. And I will be on the front row taking notes, because it's always a fantastic service with incredible teaching. I'm not sure what the Lord's got him, what he's cooking up this week, but it's going to be great. So we will be streaming that service, and all those that are listening tonight, please tune in again here Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Homer Betancourt will be ministering, and it's always fantastic, sitting here taking notes. I learned years ago, still learning, but I learned years ago, I watched a man in a city where I was going to a college, it's now a university, and he was the pastor of the biggest church in that city, and his name was Carl Strader. He's probably with the Lord now, I'm sure Brother Carl is, and he pastored an Assembly of God church of literally thousands of people, and but I would watch him, because being a college student, he would come to our college often, or we would have certain, I remember being in maybe one or two, at least one, I think, meeting where it was kind of more private, watching him. And though he was the pastor of thousands of people, really thousands of people attended that church in Lakeland, he would sit there, and it wouldn't matter who was teaching. Even if it was a college student, he was taking notes. And I'm not telling all of you to take notes. I'm just telling you that a person that will increase in understanding, if it's a teacher and they're really speaking truth, you can learn. You can absolutely learn. Now, of course, with Homer, that's top shelf stuff, and he's as good a teacher as anybody I know. But I'm telling you that to say this. Glean everything you possibly can and humble yourself always. Always. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to continue on with a series that, and maybe I'm stuck on this, and maybe it's me, but it just seems like we're in this preparing for war mode. And so it's hard for me to get off of entitling almost all these Onward Christian Soldiers in that category. So this is lesson 20. And so we're gonna continue on with lesson 20. And the name of this message is Hand Join in Hand. Hand Join in Hand. And you'll see why in just a little bit. Father, agree with me, please. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all the praise and glory. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to go. I can't come in or go out of myself. I don't know how to tie my shoelaces without your grace, your strength. The breath of my body, every thought of my mind, Lord, is dependent upon you, upon your grace, your strength, your continual intervention in my life. I exalt you. I exalt you. Praise, magnify you, love you. I love you, Daddy. We love you, Daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're stuck right here. I'm stuck right here for a while. Maybe tonight's the last part of this. Not the Onward Christian Soldier, but this parenthesis. Over the last couple of services, last Wednesday night we had Lone Wolf Sheep 1. Thank you. And Sunday we had Lone Wolf Sheep 2. Now, normally I don't do the way it's been working, and we don't do anything by a particular standard, but the way it's been working, we're doing a consecutive series on Wednesday and then one on Sunday, but it's just like this is in my spirit, and I got to get it out there, okay? And so tonight's message goes along with those two messages perfectly. I gave you, beginning on Sunday, I believe, a couple of complimentary lessons that I'd hope that you would go to or make avail yourself to, and one was Gary Carpenter's and one was Jim Martin's, and it was like basically in this we're all saying the same thing. We're not trying to be mockingbirds, copycats, but it's like the Lord has us for this short season, or however long he says to get this particular word out, and I just, there's nothing else I could do. And I think Sunday may be different. Sunday I had another lesson. I really did. There was another teaching that the Lord had already given me. So maybe he'll come across with that Sunday. But we're just going to continue to be obedient. So I would ask that everyone that's here and everyone that's listening, if you have not heard last Sunday service or the Wednesday service before, please listen, and Homer's sitting in the back, and he's saying, yes, amen, amen. So we've got it from a good source, a good teacher there. So listen, please listen. Let me just review, and I'm not going to really say very much about Sundays, except that part of Sunday's service was this. We talked about, we defined, that's a catchy title, lone wolf sheep. Well, that's can be defined in the dictionary. There's a that's an adage or a word, or it's basically a noun that describes something, someone that operates alone on their own. But we put it in a negative perspective, in that people working alone would bring division to the body, and we use that kind of catchy title there to say someone could be a sheep, but they could divert. And if they diverted from the flock and became somebody that was pronounced on their own and wanted attention and had special revelations and had blah, 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 and on and on, and wanted to pull people apart to themselves, a sheep could become a predator. And a sheep could eat other sheep, or could pull away other sheep to themselves, which would help the devourer, which is Satan. Now, we use one of the, this is the part I'll say that about Sunday's message. We won't go there tonight, to Acts chapter 20, and we read out of there how that Paul, in his last, towards, you know, as he's going, he actually lived a few years after that. But as he's going towards Jerusalem and ultimately Rome to be beheaded by Nero in his courtyard, he's making a final pass, and he's kind of visiting the churches and saying goodbye face to face. And he pulls over beside the road, if you want to put it this way. Actually, he was doing much of his travel by ship, and he goes inland enough to call the brethren, or to call, it says really, the elders of Ephesus. And if you
read through Acts, and even in that chapter, Paul says, I was with you. I stayed with you in Ephesus for 3 years. That was a pretty good stretch for Paul, because he had a traveling ministry. For Paul to stay 3 years in his tenure, he was really sowing into Ephesus. But he called the elders from Ephesus over to a city called Miletus. And Miletus was close enough where they could get there, and Paul wouldn't, I guess, have to travel too far inland. I'm not sure exactly why he didn't just go to Ephesus. Maybe he'd already traveled beyond that or whatever. But he calls the brethren, and he talks to them, and he shares with them, and he says, he warns them. So now I'm paraphrasing. He said, "You remember that for the space of 3 years, I labored among you day and night." He just couldn't get this over strong enough. "With tears." I mean, he was like saying, I'm serious about this. I'm real serious about this. "With tears, I have warned you that after I leave, wolves," and he uses the word grievous wolves, and we define that word, what those grievous wolves are. "Grievous wolves are going to come in, and they're not going to spare the flock." In other words, they're going to try to rip you apart. That's bad. But he was trying to give them a warning. But what I said Sunday was, the scariest part to me was not the grievous wolves that were coming without. He said this, "And of your own selves will men arise." In other words, there's people already in your church, and there's already maybe some of those elders that he was speaking to that had maybe in the future, they were going to be the very ones that he was talking about. And I said this, I said, it's tough when you're in a war and you've seen the old Westerns, "Circle the wagons," you know, "the enemy's coming," or "scale the wall," you know, "close the gates and scale the wall, we're ready to fight." As long as your enemy's over there, you know, and everybody around you is fighting that, it's not good. Nobody likes a war where you can be killed, but it's really bad when the enemy may be in the fort with you or in the encirclement of the wagon train with you. It's like, and that's what he was saying. He was saying there, and we used some examples, and we went through the whole thing of Nicholas, that he was one of the seven original deacons, and that history, and I read from a man that is a historian, history defines him as the father of the Nicolaitans, which was a very perverse group. They integrated Christianity and occultism and a lot of other stuff. And so we brought in all that reflection just for the purpose of saying we're living in a dangerous time. Now, you might be saying, "Pastor, is there anything that has precipitated this? Why, other than maybe the Holy Spirit," which we believe you follow the Holy Spirit, and I appreciate that, "but is there anything that would precipitate your feeling like you need to present this consecutively to us from the last 2 to 3 services?" And I would say yes. Yes. One, primarily when I was at the conference, Pastor Jim Martin, he had already preached, and then I think I preached on Tuesday. Well, he, by his own testimony, shared this, and I think he shared it with his, he did share it with his people, because the service I told you and recommended to you to listen concerning the one that he did, I listened to that, I think, on Monday, the next day. I had not had a chance. I'd already listened to Gary's, but I listened. Fantastic. Great teaching. And it went right along with everything that we're saying. But at that conference, he said, in his closing, all of us guys got a chance in the last day to get back up there. And Tim said, "Whatever time you need," but we were, you know, conscious that there was like 5 or 6 of us men that were going to stand up there and share some in wisdom of what we'd gotten out of the conference. Well, Jim got up and shared. He said the day that Bronk preached, he said Bronk was sharing the testimony of the hurricane. And I did that in preface. That wasn't my lesson. But a lot of people were coming up to me at the conference, and, "How did you do? We were praying for you," and on and on. So I thought they need to know the testimony, and they need to hear the testimony of how that God kept this place, turned on, and the parsonage, and how it was kind of a refuge. All that was a blessing. But as I was telling that, the Holy Spirit was speaking to Jim, and the Lord said to him, there is a storm, a hurricane of essence is the way the Lord was getting it over to his understanding, that's coming to the body of Christ. And we know that, yes, worldwide that can be true, but the way that I'm perceiving it is that it was an in-house warning, like in our circle warning, because I believe Jim was prophesying to the house. And so we saw that take place almost immediately. Now, I'm not saying that all of what I'm just talking about here and what I'm about to tell you is that storm, but I think it's part of the storm. So I think it's vitally important that we understand, some current events. At the conference, it was just a beautiful conference, just wonderful, and everything just such unity, such wonderful peace, and everything. The last day, the very last day, everybody's saying their hugs and goodbye and everything. Well, I'm kind of in a hurry. I'm giving my last, because I've loved, you could hugged and whatever, and because I'm wanting to go 3 or 4 times during that week. I run Turkey Mountain. Okay, it's a trail run, and it's cooler there, and it's in the mountains, and it's like a 4.5 mile run, 4.4, and I do it 3 or 4 times. Well, this is my last day, and it's the afternoon, and it's the only time I'm going to get to go again. I've already run it twice. But I'm telling everybody, bye, 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 bye. And I get out probably before everybody else. But I know I'm going to see a lot of people that night at somebody's house, and we're going to do some fellowship. So it's not like my total goodbye. Well, I get out and get in my car, and I leave, and I don't notice anything. But what I am told later when I get over to this person's house where we all gathered, many of us, for fellowship that night, and Jim was there, and Gary and their families. And so the first thing that happens when I walk into the house, because I was one of the first ones there, because I had run that mountain, I'm starving. I'm like, I'll eat the refrigerator, because is there what's in here? And Gary shows up, and Gary goes, Bronk's hungry. Has anybody got, no? And he goes, come on, Bronk, come on. So he gets me, and we take off. But before he gets there, they start asking me, they go, somebody said, what do you think about that prophecy? I said, what, something like that. Somebody, some devil, and I'm not calling the person the devil, but the devil engineered it, put an anonymous, anytime that a prophecy comes and it's anonymous, that should clue you right there. And they put it on every windshield in the parking lot, except mine, because I got out of there quick, and they were all like, "Did you get one?" I go, "No, no, I didn't get one." And then I'm thinking, "I'm not the one that did it. I promise. Oh God, I'm not the one." In fact, I heard the other day Jim say, he goes, "The prophecy was on everybody's windshield except one," and I'm thinking, "I told Jim I didn't have one on mine, so it's not me." But basically, it was a prophecy. It was probably a paid hit assassin, spiritual assassin. It was a prophecy of how far out of order we were, and on and on and on, basically kind of spelled our gloom and our doom. And they could not have, if they were there, they could have never, ever been there. In the spirit, they were always, at every point, always condemned in their own mind and their conscience. And so that false prophecy, that was the first thing. Then immediately, within days, we learned about some other situation, in which I'll be careful to say, that there was a certain person that was attempting to, you might say, prophesy or precipitate the overthrow of another church. That, as I said, I won't go into, I can't go into, but right away, back to back, this person was involved in helping lead people astray. A big bunch of people astray. That's enough said on that. The storm is here already. Okay? The storm is here already. People trying to engage others and trying to remove pastors. That's already at work. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Hallelujah. Excuse me as I go off camera for a moment. Sorry, but there was a necessity, and Candy went to take care of that. Proverbs chapter 11, hallelujah, verse 21. You're already there, right? Everybody say right. Hallelujah. Okay. Proverbs 11, verse 20. I'll start there. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are His delight. Now this is what I want you to see. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be what? Delivered. They that are froward, that word froward means distorted, false, or perverse out of the Hebrew. They that are distorted, false, or perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now he says this again in Proverbs, in chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. Verse 5, everyone that is of a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's another confirmation to this, what I'm about to share with you on this particular wisdom from Scripture. Proverbs 11:20 says it the best for me getting across to you when it says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Most commentaries don't represent this correctly. I read out of two or three. I knew what it meant. One of the best ways to know what something meant is the old way that Pastor Dave told us. Read it in context. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I love the Amplified, but they don't even have part of that scripture in there. And then I went to the Hebrew. I've got a Hebrew book, and it says what the King James says. And I don't know if you've ever read any books that are in the Hebrew. That's another deal in itself. You read the Hebrew opposite. You read it from right to left. And then there's always two lines, and you've got to go up and down like this, going from right to left. It's fun. It's really fun. It's extremely fun. But in context here, what this is saying is this. This is saying that sometimes in this life, there is an attachment, an association, a proximity, or a relation or relationship that attaches people. But even in their joining, there must be a distinction when it comes to righteousness versus perverseness. My example in that would be a husband and wife, children, a mother, a father, even a pastor, a fellow church member, fellow employee, and etc. Let me get it across maybe like this. My precious, could you come here, please? What Solomon is saying there, if you read that in context, is he's making distinction in two verses between the righteous and the unrighteous. If you read it through, he's saying the perverse or the froward, they're not going to be blessed of God. They're going to be judged of God. The righteous, they're going to be blessed. And even though hand join in hand, okay, for those of you that are not watching, I'm joining the hands of my beautiful wife. But he's saying this, even though hand join in hand, and there are many different examples which would make that application, I'll put the negative on me because she's too wonderful to do that. Even though we may be joined, we could be husband and wife in that relationship, but if she gets born again, let's say we're both not born again, and she gets born again. Well, Paul says just because one of you gets born again doesn't mean you divorce the other one. You don't just divorce them because they're not born again. As long as, and he gives certain prerequisites, as long as they will just treat you with respect and on and on and on, but you're still joined. You're still joined. A mother, but listen, what if I'm not born again? Even though we're joined, there's going to be, when it comes to the way that God looks at her, especially in eternity or in this life, even though hand join in hand, there is a distinction. God looks at one totally different than the other. This could be with a mother with a child, or a father with a child, or a pastor with his parishioners. They could have an association with each other, but that doesn't make them that person. And that doesn't mean that association by one represents the two. Do you get that? Thank you. That's what he is saying there, and that's vital to understanding what we are saying here tonight. Galatians 1, turn there with me, please. Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul says this. Are you still turning? Paul says this, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Do you see that? Galatians 1:7, which is not another gospel. He says, in pretense, they're presenting another gospel, but it is not a gospel. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But listen to what he says. This is how sure he was about what he had originally given them and what he stood in. But though we meant me, himself, or any of his associates that had ever joined him, as in bringing the gospel to Galatia. Galatia was a region. It had a number of churches in it. It wasn't just one. Galatia's not a town. Galatia was a region. But though we, that's me, or others with me, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, you've heard, some of you heard this before, but I'll repeat it for especially the ones that haven't, and it's always good for us to hear it again. That word accursed means to be separated from God forever, and it literally means to be cursed as in burn, die, burn, and go to hell. Eternal separation. It doesn't mean let him be less fortunate, let him be less blessed. Paul pronounces something here so strong that he says, look, I'm telling you, there are some that are presenting another gospel, and it's not a gospel. And I'm telling you how strong God feels about this. He's telling me to tell you this, that if I ever come back, and because of our association, because you respect me, and because I was your daddy from the beginning, if I come back and out of sheer respect, don't ever, out of respect or who you think I am or anybody that has ever been associated with me, if I tell you anything different, or if anybody ever tells you anything different, or if in your bedroom or in your prayer closet some shining angel shows up and tells you anything different, let that person, let that angel, let Paul himself be damned to hell. Now that's pretty strong. And that's just exactly it. That's just cutting the mustard exactly how it is. And we said, and as we said before and say again, if any man, he just has to reiterate, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed, damned to hell. Watch out, now listen to this, watch out for perceived confirmations by association. I've told all of y'all before, now y'all, I'm never going to stop saying y'all because that's my roots, but y'all are our congregation, we're family, and they're family, but I've told y'all many times before, don't perceive my confirmation of anybody just because I hug them. Jesus touched Judas. He handled him. He washed his feet. Don't say, boy, that guy must be a good guy just because. Now listen, if a predator comes in here, I'm not going to hug him. And he's not going to stay long either. Because me and him's going to have a talk with a couple of other brethren as witnesses. Okay? So I'm not going to hug those kinds. But I'm not a policeman, and I don't know what everybody's doing. Here's the thing. I don't want to know what everybody's doing. That's the main thing. I don't want to know, okay? And they don't want me to know. But my hug doesn't confirm them. I'm not saying, this guy or this gal, they're just wonderful. I'm hugging, or I'm, that is not a confirmation. Jesus handled Judas, but he was not confirming him. No one confirms me. I mean, I appreciate all of you that speak the message. No one confirms you. In other words, though your hand may be joined in hand with someone, and with many, we have many relationships. But if anybody speaks anything other than what you believe and what you believe is truth, and then they speak it, no matter what your relationship is with that person, they don't confirm you. They're not speaking for you. In other words, nobody speaks for me. Nobody speaks for Bronk. If they're speaking ever contrary to this foundation. Hallelujah. No one that is close to anyone that you count as an elder or a father of the faith confirms their doctrine if it is contrary to the foundation. Well, let me give you some personal, in some way you may be able to relate. 20 years, this is kind of a brag, but it's a good brag. 20 years we've been going to the conference. That lady over there in pink that I love a lot, she got us started, Miss Barbara. Might as well give her good credit. Amen. Praise the Lord. 20 years we've been going to the conference. 20 years. They hadn't missed a conference. The ones that are for the young adults, I'm too young to go to those, so they won't let me. So, but every other one we've gone to, and we've always received. I will say this, I want to say, and I especially want to say this, the core of the leadership at Tulsa Conference and at the Family Prayer Center, the core of the leadership is some of the finest people on planet Earth. They're like the core of our leadership here, okay? But I was shocked. I'll read it just like, I was shocked to find out that everyone, back when I started 20 years ago, you know what one of the things that shocked me? I was shocked to find out that everyone at the conference was not on the same page. There was like 500 people there, especially in the early days, 500-600 people. And I found out, I thought we were all on the same, I thought we were on the same page, going in the same direction. And it was a shock to me to find out that there was a number of scandalous people in our midst. And some of them did not come from afar either. Now, I'm not condemning the prayer center in Tulsa. It can be in any church. There's always, listen, what I found out was this. When Candy and I kept going to the conferences, because I realized after a few that I could have gotten real discouraged. I was like, wow, there's I found out, just like a hurricane. You know how we're hurricane people. We don't claim them. And no, we're not all hurricane university people either, Homer. but in the hurricane, there is that eye, and it's still, and there and you can see the sun. I found out that in the core of what was going on, it was pure. But I also found out you could step outside of that core, and I could hear gossip. Gossip by people that shocked me. I heard dumb, just stupid doctrines that went right against what Pastor Dave was saying. I had a choice from the beginning. After me and Candy started realizing, we realized what we see in the core is perfect. But if you step outside that core, in fact, the other thing too is, now for years, not by my own promotion, but because God, just God, they have a spot right there next to Pastor Dave that they tell me to sit. We want you to sit right there. I love the front, not because I want glory. I like to be right on the edge of what's going on. Now, the other thing, too, is, I'm not preaching against the back or anything like that. Homer has to sit in the back because he has to go to the bathroom a lot. But he's healed in Jesus' name. Okay. But otherwise, he'd be right up here. But here's the deal. Back in the early days when I'd sit in the back, I'd see things going on. That's where a lot of people that go to conferences, they get disoriented or confused, and they're like, I thought we were all on this. And then all of a sudden, you find people that you kind of trusted saying dumb stuff. I actually, now, for the last 15 years or more, I 99% of 99% of people that are there, wonderful people, 90%. But I watch my associations, and I select who I go out with. Listen, when I'm going to the restroom, sometimes I get I'll get a shared revelation. Okay, most of them are innocent. Some of them are mischievously deviled and perverted, trying to get an inroad against. Now, when those show up, nowadays I have been given authority from the head to stop it right then. They've given me, and I don't walk around with a badge, but a few years ago, they told me and Jim and some others, we trust you. If that comes up at all, because they know we're not gonna scream at nobody. We're gonna love people, but we're gonna correct it, and we're gonna correct it right then, right on the spot. I mean, dead on it. And I've even got a prayer now. I don't want to scare anybody from the. If you ever want to go to the best conference in your life, go to the Tulsa conference. Except maybe Jim Martin's. I mean, okay. I gotta. But I actually have a prayer now before I ever go. Okay, God, direct my steps. Direct Candy and I. Don't let us go any place, associate with any. Because there's all outside of that eye. There's sometimes scandal going on. Okay? And that's kind of like the revival. And it wouldn't matter if we had a conference here. It'd be the same kind of fight. The core would bring it forward. And there very possibly be some of us that come here that be part of that talk. We'd straighten you out just like we would anybody else. Bless you. Love you. Glory. That's none of y'all, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. That's for the ones that are not here. No. Because Marsha, I know, and Rex, y'all are listening. And a lot of y'all. I'm going to get myself so buried so deep here, nobody's going to be able to help me. So I was shocked to find out that everyone at the conference was not on the same page. And that would work in every ministry. There are always sharks on the outside of every ministry. Don't let someone that you know who knows someone, or that, listen to these closely, they deserve a lot of commas probably. They're not full sentences or they're extended. Don't let someone that you know who knows someone or that is close to someone be the representative for that person or ministry's doctrines. Amen. Ms. Gaye, thank you. Be careful. Now, these are just some simple things. Be careful who you give your email address to. Thank you. Be careful who you friend on Facebook. There's sharks out there. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Bad company corrupt good manners." The storm is coming, and then we're making storm preparation, just like we would for any hurricane. Now, at the same time, listen, just because I teach it, and just because you say amen, and I believe you believe it, I don't want to ever take the disposition of like, we're ready, and it ain't going to happen in my church. It ain't going to happen here. It ain't going to. Listen, Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." In other words, at the end of the day, after I've taught and after you've said amen and you're agreeing with me, and I've got some intercessors in here that pray and I so much appreciate, at the end it's us looking to Him, because He takes us all the way into revival and keeps down that kind of nonsense. Remember Paul's words, if I... one of my associates, or an angel, comes. Now, I'm going to give you a case in point, okay? Let me give you a case in point. I'm going to use Homer because he contacted me on this and got my wisdom on it. Homer was contacted a couple of times by email by someone that has a close association with some people that we highly love and respect. That person presented foolish and erroneous messages. For years, I knew the story behind this person, and I knew that they were not on this walk and were in some ways very dangerous to others, yet I was quiet. When Homer began to share with me, I knew it was time for me to speak up. And I think I'd shared with Homer some stuff before because I have that place with him. That spirit or personality was trying to evangelize. It could not be settled in its own locale. I then informed Homer in part of the dangers of this person. Just, now listen to this. This is that hand joining hand. Just the mention of this person to most of you, in knowing their proximity to other people, it would have automatically opened doors of trust. People by association would have invited them into their trust room and believed whatever they said. Do you understand what I'm trying to get, what the Holy Spirit's trying? Just cause hand joining hand, just cause, oh, the mention of that person's name is so close to somebody I do trust. Well, then what they telling me, y'all getting it, ain't you? There was another person, this happened to me, that many of you would know, really all of you would. And if they called you or text you, you would immediately you'd be willing to engage based on their associations. This person called me and wanted to talk badly about the leadership of one of our sister churches. And I mean badly. I immediately told that person I did not want to hear it, and we soon ended the conversation, much to the dislike of that person. That person began to try to call me back during the course of weeks and leave messages. Now, I would have returned their call after listening to the message if the messages were not like this. I could tell by their messages that they wanted to spread controversy, and they were still upset, mad, and belligerent, and they were very adamant about it. And I did something very, very spiritual. I blocked their calls. Hallelujah. Very spiritual. I blocked their calls. The next time that person went to call me, they got the message that Bronk won't stand for that foolishness. He's cut me off. They probably got madder. Now, here's the deal. And this is where we're coming to. And I don't want to get on no pedestal, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and all this. But I just know where God has brought us to, not just in the season of things, but also in the revelation of His Word. If either one of the persons that I just described were to begin to contact you, and you begin to tell me these people contacted you and begin to share their fake news or propaganda, I would expose them by name in the service before everybody. I would not share everything I knew, because sometimes that's way too hard, but I'd share as much as I needed to expose them for who they are, though hand join in hand. Now let me just read these statements that the Lord gave me. The days of a soft stand are over. because the days of fullness are here and his kingdom is breaking into a power of revival. It is all right to take a strong stand. It is all right not to listen. The days of just sitting and listening, and I've done it because I thought I was walking in love, just sitting and listening are over. They must know immediately which side of the fence you're on. Well, I just let them talk because I wanted to. No. Whoa, before you go any further, I'm not going to listen to that. Now, if you want to talk about God's Word, how good God is, the power of the Spirit, revival, and I tried to do that, and they would take, and I said, no, we're just not going to talk then. That's it. It's over. And if they continue to talk, goodbye, I love you, and that's the last they hear of me. Hallelujah. Is naming names proper? Now, let me just read this. I'm going to get this out of Gary's notes here. Of course, it's right out of the Bible, but he put it in some of his notes that I commandeered. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20 says this, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked, of whom, listen, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Do you see what these guys were doing? They were destroying the foundation of the church, and Paul, my God, now how would you like your name put in the Bible, mentioned in this fashion? For all of eternity, for the next 4,000 years, everybody was going to read about Hymenaeus and Alexander, but Paul didn't have one bit of problem by the Holy Ghost saying exactly who he was talking about. So nobody would have any doubt, qualms. 2 Timothy 1:15, this thou knowest, that all they, he's talking to Timothy, which are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, and he goes on, he named those two guys. Should have had the whole scripture, or maybe I should have looked it up. 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a moth, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the, and he tells them how they've erred, they say that the resurrection has passed already, and they've overthrown the faith of some. This is the third time that he names. Paul names names. When it comes to those kinds of things, we had, let me say this, and I wrote this down because I wanted to keep as straight as I could. We had elders, and this ain't the elders I was talking about Sunday, because I did a little essay on that. Any of you that heard Sunday's service, you say, well, Pastor, you've had a lot of problems. No, we've had a lot of good stuff. We had elders and another family with those elders leave a number of years ago because I just began to talk. I didn't even know, I hadn't read none of the books, I hadn't studied it at all. I just began to talk about the radical grace message. I did not mention any names at that time. I just mentioned some of the foolishness or the foolish things coming out of that camp. Examples like people are actually teaching you don't have to repent when you sin. Now, I remember it's been about 5 years ago when I said that. Most everybody in here were like, what? We kind of laughed. It was so foolish to us based on what we understand as truth. What is truth? What is truth? It was so foolish to us that we were like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it made people mad when you laughed. It made them mad when you laughed. It made them mad when I said what I said. And they left. And I don't mean they left that Sunday service. They left and didn't come back. And like I've said before, I mean, y'all don't think about it so much. Well, you do, you might, because y'all care. Y'all all don't care that to support. It's just the beatenest thing. Anybody that ever leaves, they never continue to send their offering back in. I just never, that has always struck me so strange. I mean, that just, it's like, why are the offerings so low now? Oh, they're gone. They don't give no more. Man. One thing that upset them the most, especially one of them that did talk to me later, was that I had actually mentioned, not by name even at that point, now I've actually mentioned by name in that series that I did, that I actually had mentioned things that would incriminate other preachers. But what does the Bible say? We just read three examples where he actually named names. The most spiritual and godly thing that many of you can do is like what I said before, is just unfriend someone or block them from your contacts. Oh, people, or pastor, what about the love walk? What do we do about, listen, this is where people can get confused. Here, let me just give you a simple rule, okay? Maybe this will help you. You either got the 490 rule or the two times rule. It just boils down to two, one of those. The 490 rule is an endless rule based on an offense, a personal offense that your brother may have with you. When Peter said, how many times I forgive my brother? Seven times? No, 70 times seven. That's 490. And he wasn't just specifically talking about 490, but he was saying, have an endless heart of forgiving, okay? Now, how does that apply? Well, let's see. A guy comes to you and says, hey, man, I need to borrow $500. I really need it bad. Okay, well, I'll give it back to you Friday. Friday, I'll give it back to you, okay? Well, okay, no problem. If you can give it back to me Friday, because Monday I got a car payment, and I need that. Or I got a house payment. I need every bit of that. Well, that Friday was 2 years ago. That Friday was 2 years ago. And the worst part about it is every time you see him, he's like, what's up? And you're thinking, your time limit's up. It expired 2 years ago. your time. And then the worst part about it is you found out that, he's been taking summer vacations. And you're like, how come you go to Disney World and my file, you know, don't you? That's another thing. Well, that's God says forgive him. That's 489 I got left. And God says, well, when you found out he took a vacation on your money, forgive him. Okay, I'll do that. Oh, Jesus, oh, God. And then the Lord says, go tell him so he's not, so there's nothing between y'all. You go tell him that it's just a gift. Don't ever worry about it again. Okay, go tell him that. So then you go and tell him that, and he acts like, well, that's what you should have done anyhow. And then you're thinking, oh, God, I want to knock him out. Please, please, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you still got 480-something times that you got to forgive him. But the Titus rule is this. We read the Titus rule. That's different. The Titus rule is when they're trying to cause a split in the body. And when they're bringing about confusion concerning doctrine, that scripture, I have that scripture, we don't have to turn there. Titus 3:9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, that's somebody that's starting to talk contrary to the truth and what we teach. After the first and after the second admonition, you know what the admonition means? It means you talk to them and you try to convince them, no, you're not right. You're getting off here. You're getting off here. He says after the second one, reject them. And we talked about a couple that left here Sunday, and we still just love that couple just as much as I love anybody that's sitting here. I just washed their feet today, just like wouldn't hurt me a pound, and not a bit. This is not an ounce. I just love them to pieces. I could just squeeze them. But I'm telling you, you know, when they started calling back here, we didn't realize it so much then because people would tell me, and I we got to love them, blah, blah. When you're dealing with somebody like that, you only got two shots with them, really, scripturally. And you can just tell them after the second one, hey, look, I don't think I've turned your thoughts here at all, but I can't talk to you again about this. If you call next week and you want to talk and chat for an hour about this, we ain't doing it. And then follow up on it. Hallelujah. I got in my notes here. Well, before I get to that part, everybody turn to 3 John. Which chapter you think we should turn to? Oh, Mavis has got it. 1, okay. Okay. Let's turn to 3 John. How many of you remember how Pastor Dave used to teach, how he used to preach or present John? My God, I fell in love with John when Pastor Dave would talk about him, 105, and the man of love, the apostle of love. Pastor Dave would talk about how they'd bring him in at 105 in Ephesus, put him up on the platform or in front of the church, and they'd say, what's the wisdom? Tell us the wisdom, Papa. Tell us the wisdom, Father. Love one another. Man, I fell in love with John because he's love. Love, 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 love. May have known love as much or more than any apostle that Jesus ever had. But I want you to listen here to this man of love. The elder of verse 1, unto the well-beloved Gaius, in whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou hast faithfully whatsoever thou doest, faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, whom have borne witness of the charity, the love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Now watch this. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, how do you say that? How is it, Homer? Diotrephes. Diotrephes, who loveth to be or to have the preeminence. In other words, he wants the attention. Among them. Now, did John name somebody? Yes, sir, he did. And this man walked in more love than anybody on the planet, probably. He loves, this Diotrephes, he loves to have the attention and have the headship among them. Receiveth us not. Can you imagine somebody not receiving John? Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. My God. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Now he's talking just about that right there. But that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil is not seen God. Well, he's saying Diotrephes, or, yeah, is that how you say it, Homer? He hadn't seen God. Listen, this is what I had in my notes. There is no coup d'etat in the kingdom. You know what a coup d'etat is? It's a coup. A coup is a sudden, decisive exercise of force in politics, especially the violent overthrow, alteration of an existing government by a small group, a military coup or coup d'etat of the dictator. Well, pastor shouldn't be a dictator, I'll say that, but a coup is when a small, there are no coups in the kingdom of God. You can't find in the New Testament where God ever lays his hand. You will never, you out there, us, God will never lay his hand on you to lead a coup. Or he'll never anoint you to be part of a coup. In other words, overthrowing. Listen, even when David was already anointed, he would not lead a coup against Saul. Well, pastor, yes. Can a pastor ever get squirrely? Can somebody ever get squirrely? Well, yeah, sure they can. Well, what do? Well, instead of driving that way when you get in your car, you drive that way. In other words, you just don't show up no more. That hand that used to write the checks, it just don't write them no more. You don't lead a coup. You don't try to take it over. You just don't support it anymore. And if anybody calls you, you don't criticize. You just say, well, the Word of God says this. And what they're saying is this, and it's just absolute. I'm just saying there's no ever, and those devils that try to lead those coups, they never have a justification. Now, you've heard me say this before, some churches and some I'd say almost all denominations, and I'm not against, there's some good churches and denominations, but almost all church denominations, their government is already set up for coups. And many churches are set up for coups. I came out of it, I won't name the denomination. I came out of the denomination. I graduated from a college then. It's a university now. And I got home to a huge church, and there was a coup going on. And a small group led a coup and ousted the pastor. Actually, he didn't have, and this denomination will say, but no, we're all sovereign churches. But the way their government is set up is that headquarters can come down and intervene. And headquarters did come down because the coup went to headquarters and spread a bunch of lies. And the man that was there was just as pure as gold. He was a wonderful guy. And they just come in there and got a bunch of devils stirred up. What I'm saying is this. If you're, I'm not trying to say God can't move in a denomination. I'm just saying this, that if he starts going certain ways, that are contrary to the way that is truth, and the devil wants to get in there, the groundwork's already laid in the way that it's formulated and the way that it is set up with the state already, with the 501c3 organization. It's just set up for destruction. Now, There's no such thing, since I'm talking on this right now, there's no such thing as an innocent coup. But I can see that sometimes, here's the thing, and listen to me out there. Sometimes people will hear this message, or they'll read Dave's book, and they just love their church, and they love their pastor, and they want that to come there. And then they'll start handing out Dave's book, and then they'll start trying to, listen, I don't want to discourage nobody. In all my years, I have never seen that work. What happens is, if it don't come, in other words, if the pastor don't feel like he found it out first himself, or if another person on his, I don't want to say level, because y'all are not on one level, me on another, but you know what I'm saying. If they don't give it to him, he won't receive it, and you will be branded many times as a coup attempt. So what do you do? The best thing to do is to follow God. Just follow God. But I'm telling you, if you think you're going to transition a church and a pastor and change them, you knock yourself out, but that's about what you'll do. In the end, you'll probably just say, they're good people, I love them, but I either got to go home and sit and listen to this or find a church like this, but hallelujah. Did you learn anything? Now listen, to any of you pastors out there or any of you preachers out there, the way that I set it up, and I wasn't smart enough, I had other men that were smarter than me that put me in some of the best, in touch with some of the best attorneys in America concerning church government. And they're out of Tulsa. And years ago, I set this up by the grace of God where I can't be voted out. In other words, a coup attempt you couldn't get a bunch of people together, and no matter what their vote was, they couldn't come in and vote me out. You need that. A church doesn't work off of that kind of government. A church is basically a theocracy where God gives a man a vision. Elders come around him, give him wisdom, advice, and those. And you say, well, what? Well, then how do we, what? I told you. Sometimes people get real like, well, what kind of security do we have? I'll tell you what you have is the Holy Ghost. And y'all praying for me. And then the other thing too is, if I was to go squirrely, what do you do about it? Go someplace else. You don't throw, there's never ever a coup attempt. You never make one. But for you men out there or women, if you contact me, I'll put you in touch with these lawyers. Good churches have been destroyed because the government was set up from the very beginning where people could come in and take control of things. And there's ways to do that. It's totally legal. You can set it up from the beginning. You have to file it with your state. All of our stuff is filed with the state, and so we're secure in that. All the glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Did you get anything tonight? Praise God. Woo. We finished right at 9. Father, we thank you and we praise you for all of our family out there. We thank you for all our family here. Blessings. We thank you. Now, can everybody remember this? Though hand join in hand. Can you remember this? Though hand join in hand. No matter whoever, listen, we got some wonderful brothers and sisters out there. Jim's got some powerful people. There's some wonderful people in Tulsa. But no matter whatever comes to y'all, discern everything. I haven't validated nobody except the people. You know I trust Jim and Gary and those kinds of guys. But I don't care no matter who they are. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Blessings on all of you and blessings to you out there. God bless you. Amen.